For Jesus, as you are here in your power, be with us as we spend time now in your word and contemplating on the issue of the church and being a part of the church. May you change our errant ways of thinking. Would you bring us in line with your scriptures? Would you encourage us where we are in step with your way of thinking? Let us not be proud, but let us be thankful that you have worked in us and are working in us. And may we be expectant that you will yet be working in us in the moments to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated at this point. This week, there will be a group of people who will be getting up, ready, and excited for the weekly meeting where they will see family and friends. Calls will be made during the week to make sure that others are going to be at the gathering. Calls will be made to Jim, who missed last week, to make sure that he is okay, or to double check and see if he perhaps might need a ride to get where everyone is going. They will be thinking about the upcoming gathering, and they will find themselves perhaps singing a certain song that they sing nearly every week with others. They will be thinking and preparing to sit in the same spot they have for years, next to the very same people they have for years, and making sure that they also park in the same spot that they have for years. They are already mentally getting dressed in the middle of the week. They are thinking about appropriate attire and figuring out which outfit to wear this week. Their mouths are perhaps will be already watering, thinking about the afternoon meal and hoping somebody makes their favorite dish. And then the day will come, and with glad hearts, they will get into their cars and SUVs with plenty of time to spare, because no one wants to get there late for the football game. Now, I could have said all of that and ended to be a church. And yet, if we're honest, and if some of our friends are honest, we have more excited, prepared, energetic attendance for tailgate parties and football games than we do gathering together with the saints. It is funny to me over, well, maybe funny is not the right word. There's another word, I'm sure. It is interesting to me over the years to hear of folks who would never allow yard mowing to get in the way of Saturday's game, but somehow use yard mowing to get in the way of corporate worship. Last week we talked about the issue of the church and how she is the bride and the beloved of Christ. And all those who believe in Christ are a member of that church. And now my question for you this morning is this: why should I, if I'm a part of the church of Christ, why should I assemble with other believers? That is the question for us this morning. I'm not asking it per se, why should I go to church? Because that might make you think that I'm wanting us to move towards the direction of church being a building to go and attend an event. The church is somehow an event to attend. I'm wanting us to remember that the church, biblically speaking, is who, not what or where. The church is those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want us to ask the question, why should I assemble with believers? I mean, if I'm already a member of the church, can't I worship God out in the golf course? Or just as easily worship God as a member of this church, catching fish on Sunday? Or can I just watch internet service and count that as being a part of the body of Christ? And although I know summertime is past, what about when you go on vacation? I mean, as long as you go back home, God gives you a pass when you're on vacation, right? Why do we attend at all? Is it merely a routine? Or is there something more for us? Now, none of us, let me be very clear from the beginning, none of us is saved by our church attendance, by our gathering with the believers every week. But as I hope that you're going to see, there is lots of biblical warrant why it should be our desire to be with other believers. And that might take place on a Sunday. It might take place on a Wednesday night. It might take place on a Tuesday or a Thursday around a lunch sandwich. Why should I have a desire to be with other believers? Now, granted, this morning, primarily, I'm going to be making the argument, why should you at least be willing to gather together at least weekly together as the body of Christ? But I want us to be thinking, maybe there are other moments when I could be gathering with the body. And why should I? So, I need to confess as well, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty for being sick and not being able to attend. We all understand that. The Lord understands that. You get ill. I do not expect Betty Jean Hill to get up out of Trident Hospital and make it here for some sort of performance mark or gold star by her name in the halls of heaven. The Lord understands those moments. Or perhaps outside of our own powers, we work for somebody who required... I'm not speaking of that. I'm speaking of if you have the opportunity... Why should you assemble with other believers? I'm not even making the argument, why should you attend the same church every Sunday? I hope to be making that in a few weeks, but just the idea in our heads, the basic foundation, why as a believer should I seek, if I have opportunity, to gather with other believers? And so, if that's my goal... this morning, that's the topic to look at. This morning, I want to share with you 14 reasons, which go beyond because Mama made me or Daddy made me, which go beyond just duty or routine. 14 reasons this morning why the corporate assembly with the church is important, or with a church, particularly in the local setting. So this morning I want to begin, and some of these I'm going to go very quickly. I'm not going to read all the verses. I've provided the verses with you, and if you want to look up more, but I do want to sort of touch on these and get through this morning the idea of why is assembling important. First of all, and this isn't even on here, the word church means assembly. The idea of there being the church... Over all the ages, it's the assembling of God, of His people, who will one day be around His throne as the bride, as the church. And so, in its own, even in the question, why is it important to be a part of the church? Well, if I say I am a part of the church, the bride of Christ, that means, implied, I am a part of an assembly. And so, just in the name church itself, there's an implication of assembly. But first, the first reason I want us to see as a reason for corporate assembly is to express praise for God. To express praise for God. We see this in the very end of Luke, in the 24th chapter, at the very end. Jesus ascends, and so they see Him. He's raised from the dead, and He blesses them, and He ascends into the sky. And what is their first response? Not to all go and live individual lives. Their first response is that they leave from that moment and they go together to the temple with great joy continually praising God. The first response when believers see the wonderment of Christ and they are reacting to Christ raised and ascended and blessed by Christ, their first response, together, going to a same location, praising God for His work. With great joy, says the text. And then in the early church, we have Acts 2. We have several instances here where they are meeting with breaking of bread and hearing the apostles and with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God. Because as they're gathering, they're reminding themselves of who they are. They are in Christ. They have been bought by the blood of Christ. Christ has forgiven them. And as they gather together and they retell the story of the gospel to each other and they hear new people who are living out and believing the gospel story, they are expressing their praise for God. Now, you might say, but Pastor Ken, can I not express my praise individually somewhere? And I would say, yes, please do that. You do not have to worship only corporately. But be careful when all you may wish to do is worship privately. Because the bulk of the pictures in the Bible is of the people of God gathered together to praise Him. And so that's one reason why we gather together. A corporate assembly is not so much what we get out of it, but what we give to God as a response to what He has already done for us. And so we express praise for God. Even the psalmist that we read earlier in Psalm 42, what did he do? He talked about, I remember the times I would lead the throng, the multitude, keeping festival with joy and thanksgiving. Okay, so that's reason number one. Reason number two, well, why else is it important for me to corporately assemble with the church? Because it provides an opportunity to experience joy. To experience joy. And we've already looked at this somewhat. Again, Psalm 42:4, with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. The disciples, after seeing Jesus raised and ascended, they go with great joy to the temple to continue to talk about the things of God. Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So that the corporate assembly ought to equate with us the idea of a people of joy. And that if I immerse myself in the midst of that people, there will be joy to experience. Maybe not happiness. Now, you can have happiness on the golf course when you make a good putt. But the very next hole, all that happiness is gone when you've gone four over. So are you really worshiping and experiencing joy? Probably not. The way that you worship and experience joy is not when you are focusing on the biggest fish you just caught or the longest slumber that you just had, or the best putt, or whatever recreation that you're doing, or a finished to-do list, because that to-do list is probably going to repeat itself in short order. Where joy begins to be experienced is when we begin to focus on all who God is, and all that God has done, and all His promises that cannot be taken away from the people of God. And that is where joy begins to come. When we, as a corporate body, gather together, focus upon God, when we put our hope in God, even in the shadow times of our lives, and joy begins to come. And joy is infectious. I might come with a heavy heart and yet begin to rub shoulders with you and talk with you and hear what Christ is doing in your life. And then I'm reminded, you know what? Christ is doing that in my life too. And yes, this problem does exist. I'm not rosy-colored glasses. I'm not ignoring things. But I'm reoriented to, I do have reasons for rejoicing. And so corporate assembly with the church provides an opportunity to experience joy. Third reason why we should gather together. Corporate assembly with the church provides an opportunity to imitate the practice of Jesus. To imitate the practice of Jesus. We who are called little Christs, Christians, that's what that means. We who were and are called little Christs, and whom the Bible tells us to imitate our Lord in Jesus Christ. Well, we often think about, well, let me imitate Jesus in being kind. Let me imitate Jesus in being loving. And let me imitate Jesus by serving people. Well, what about imitating Jesus by being at regular gatherings with the believers of God? Well, Pastor Ken, where do you get this? And I see this, the passage is listed there for you in Luke 4, verse 16. And he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue. The synagogue would have been meeting, most likely on Friday night, and he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the Scriptures. Jesus, his regular pattern. Now imagine this. Is he trying to buy off God's favor by attendance? No. He has that already by being God himself. He, as an expression of love and faithfulness to the Father, is there to be with God's people and to hear the Word and even to read the Word. Don Whitney, in his book, Spiritual Disciplines Within the Church, says this, Jesus' example of attending public worship eliminates the excuse of being too busy for church. Jesus also had countless crucial things he could have been doing rather than attending worship. I mean, there's always somebody else to heal, right? There's always another part of the kingdom of God that he could be proclaiming and expanding. Yet, if Jesus believed that participating in public worship was that important, so should we. If I am growing more and more into the image of Christ, part of that image is importance of the corporate gathering of believers. So corporate assembly with the church provides an opportunity to imitate the practice of Jesus. Fourth, corporate assembly with the church provides an opportunity to imitate the practice of the early church. In John chapter 20, verse 1, we just left that gospel, and we're already back in it, but John chapter 20, verse 1, what happens? It's the first day of the week, following the crucifixion, and it's the empty grave, it's the resurrection. And what do we find out? The second week. Well, it's the first day of the week again, and the believers are gathered together again for the purpose of worship on what we now call the Lord's Day, the day of the Lord's resurrection. And this practice was picked up not only in the Gospel of John the first couple of weeks after the resurrection, it was ongoing. And all through the book of Acts, we find that on the Lord's Day, they were gathering themselves together for the purpose of attending the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, of praying. Acts 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 2, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper so that no corrections may be made when I come. So even on the first day of the week, we've got reading of the Scriptures and teaching by the apostles. We've got fellowship, and we're going to explain that in just a moment. There's also the taking of the Lord's Supper. There is praying and as well giving, all on the Lord's Day. And John himself, the Lord's Day. Now, he was forced to be by himself. But even on the Lord's Day, he was in the Spirit worshiping. What I'm wanting to say to you is this, that there is a priority given in the Scriptures to the body of Christ gathering on a Sunday morning to focus on God and His activity. And that this has been the practice of the early church since the days of the Bible. Justin Martyr was a humanistic philosopher who became a believer in Christ, and not only just a believer, but an evangelist and an apologist, one who would argue for the faith publicly and officially on behalf of the church as it was still in its illegal status during its early years. And he was living around 160 and wrote the following, and on the day called Sunday, All who live in the cities or in the county or country gathered together to one place. And the memoirs of the apostles, we would call that some of the writings of Paul or the New Testament, of Peter, James, John. The memoirs of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read as long as time permits. Then when the reader has ceased, the president verbally, or be the leader of the assembly, verbally instructs us and exhorts us to imitate these good things. And then we all rise together and pray, saying amen, and observe the Lord's Supper and spend time together. So imitating the practice of the early church, gathering together ever since the days of the pages of the Scriptures, the church, those who believe in Christ, gathering together, involved in focusing upon the work of God. So those are four reasons. Fifth reason to gather together for corporate assembly with the church is to express our love for and identification with the brethren. To express our love for and identification with the brethren. How will I know that it is impossible in your... Let me restate that. How will I know that it is important in your life to be with the church? Or that the church is important in your life? Well, one of the ways that I will know that, or somebody else will know that, is that they will actually see you going to be with the church. That you are often among the brethren. We see this in 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. Well, how can I love you from a distance, biblically speaking? It's impossible. For me to love the brethren means I need to be with you. Then John makes sort of an opposite statement. 1 John 2:19. There was a group who went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they had really been believers, they would have remained with us. So that it should be shown that they all are not of us. The presence with believers gives evidence that we are a part and that we belong to and that we love the church, just as absence, particularly continued absence from the body, rightly gives evidence that we do not love the body, that we do not love the bride, we do not love the church. So when I gather together, it's an opportunity for me to express love for and identification with the body of Christ. 6, and here, turn to Romans 15, if you would. Romans 15. I know I'm not giving you much opportunity to open the Bible and sort of reading it to you, which is not my general pattern. But Romans 15. Notice the corporate nature of what Paul is writing here in the following words. And the sixth reason for my corporately assembling with the church is it provides an opportunity to be instructed and encouraged through the Scriptures toward hope, unity, and worship. To be instructed and encouraged through the Scriptures toward hope, unity, and worship. Now look here at verse 4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, that is, perseverance in the Scriptures and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you, and you can read that, you all, to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what Paul is putting forth here is that it is important for us to gather together, to be seated underneath the reading of and the teaching of the holy writings, the Scriptures, so that as we are gathered together, hearing at the same time the reading of God's Word and the teaching of God's Word, that we will have one mind about what the Word of God says, that we will have one heart towards each other, and that that unity will result in hope and worship of God. Notice the corporate nature of the importance of the body of Christ coming together to hear the instruction. Can I listen to a sermon on the internet? Sure. Absolutely. Can I read a book of sermons on my own under a tree somewhere by the river? Absolutely. That's good. Can I read the scriptures myself and gain? Yes, and you should and you ought to. But I don't want you to miss that according to the scriptures, there's something that happens for our good when we meet together for the purpose of hearing the scriptures read and instructed. We are encouraged through the scriptures towards hope, towards unity, and towards worship. Seventh reason why we gather together as corporate body to worship and to focus upon the Lord. Number seven, quite honestly, to comply with Scripture. To comply with Scripture. And here, let's take our Bibles and turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. To comply or line up with Scripture. And here, let's look at Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so that we see very clearly in Scripture that we are not to forsake being with each other. In fact, we, according to verse 25, should be looking for even more opportunities to being with each other for the purpose of stimulating one another to love and good deeds and helping each other to hold fast to the confession of hope without wavering. And so we comply with Scripture as we gather together for the purpose of worship on the Lord's Day. Now here I could insert, not only can you comply with Scripture because of Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, but those of you with children, and you know, we are all flesh and blood, and not every child is perfect, and you may have heard in your house, but I don't want to. Or you may have been a child. You may be here today and you may say, why should I go to church? At least remember the words of Scripture. Children, honor your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. One of the reasons that you have, even as a youngster, for going to church, though I wish it were because you're excited to praise God and that you're excited to go and experience Christ, and yet you're wanting to imitate the Lord Jesus, or you're wanting to imitate the practice of the early church early on, that you're hoping to get to church and hear the Scriptures and be encouraged and be able to hold fast. When the rubber meets the road, even if mom and dad say, because I said so, that is a valid reason. And for you to assemble. Is it the best of reasons? In my heart, no. It's not the best of reasons. But it is still a valid reason for you to assemble with believers to honor and obey your parents. Well, what would be an eighth reason why we should assemble with the church? An eighth reason, and staying in the same set of Scripture verses, would be to experience encouragement through the fellowship of the saints. To experience encouragement through the fellowship of the saints. Verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is one of the drawbacks of doing church on the internet or church on the TV. As much as I might like that pastor, or I might like the music that's going on, or I might like the convenience of worshiping in my pajamas through a TV screen or through an internet screen, you will never, ever be able to encourage those on the screen. There's this hunk of glass that's preventing you from being able to speak to and be spoken by that group of people in that box. But when we come together, that is when we get to step out and rub shoulders and encourage one another. To be able to see and know from prior testimony or prior prayer requests, you know, let's say Naomi and I are having a rough patch in our marriage. But because we've been assembling with the body and we've been present at prayer meetings, we've heard people praying, but we're encouraged, you know what, we're having a rough patch, but I remember when Billy and Sarah did. And they're still together and they're still trusting the Lord. And you know what? That same Lord that answered his prayers and their prayers can answer ours too, honey. Let's just keep on keeping our focus on the Lord. Or I'm without a job, and yet I know others who are without a job, and yet the Lord has answered their prayers, and there are other believers who are praying for me and trying to encourage me, or maybe it's in parenting, or maybe it's in being a young person in school years and trying to be a good child to your parents, and hearing each other talk about the Lord and how He's answered prayers and how you found His strength in weakness. That is how we encourage one another in the fellowship of the saints. So you will never get simply by watching a screen. Don Whitney, in that book that I mentioned earlier, Spiritual Disciplines Within the Church, gives us this word of advice. And this is how I want to set it up. When you came in today, were you socializing or were you fellowshipping? Were you socializing or were you fellowshipping? And there's a difference. Now let me see if this paragraph helps us to see the difference for the body of Christ. Fellowship is more than socializing. It is qualitatively different. Any two people can socialize. But New Testament fellowship involves the sharing of the Christian life with other followers of Christ. Talking about the things of God with each other, telling and hearing testimonies of the work of the Spirit of God in our lives, serving the Lord and His people together, worshiping God and praying as one, extending to and receiving from another the love of Christ. These are the fibers of the fabric of true fellowship. We can be encouraged by the perseverance of other believers who are buoyant in their faith despite discouraging circumstances, by the example of more mature believers, by other church members who struggle successfully with some of the same daily issues we face, and by praying and singing the praises of God with each other. If a child is going to be emotionally healthy, he needs the socialization and encouragement a family can provide. In the same way, every child of God needs the fellowship and encouragement that God extends and intends for him to receive from a church family if he is going to be spiritually healthy. The fellowship of the saints is not mere moments for catching up on community news or gossip. The fellowship of the saints, what is God doing in your heart? How can I be praying for a thorn in your flesh? How can I be praying for a stumbling area in your life? Let me share some scriptures that have been helpful to me in that area in your life. What has God done that you want to praise Him for? That's fellowship. So corporate assembly allows us the opportunity to experience encouragement through the fellowship of the saints. Number 9, and this goes right on the heels, won't spend much time here. Number 9, corporate assembly with the church provides an opportunity to help each other love one another. To truly love one another. See this in verse 24. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love. Well, one way that I can be stimulated to love you and help stimulate you to love me in return and you to love others is by being with you and giving you the opportunity to express and act in love. To be able to live out Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And though I can do that in a sense to rejoice for my brothers who are living in Saudi Arabia and they are able to start a new Bible study, I can rejoice with them in a sense. There is a sense much fuller where I am able to rejoice with you when my arm is around you. And though I may comfort the saints of those who are persecuted, perhaps in Burma, who are oppressed for their faith in a mostly Islamic nation, there's another sense in which my arm around you physically, weeping with you, is needed. And where I might need the arm of someone around me, and for that to occur, I need to be able to place myself in the midst of the body corporately assembled. And we go on. Not only all these 9, but 10. Corporate assembly with the church provides an opportunity to help each other in our sanctification. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another, how? To love and good deeds." Which implies that there may be some deeds that aren't so good. And it's part of the role of gathering together that we encourage each other towards good deeds. To speak into one another's lives and perhaps holding one another accountable as to how is it that we are acting in the acts of righteousness and saying no to that which is unrighteous. Hebrews 3.13, just a few chapters over in this very same book. Hebrews 3.13, "But encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." I gather, and we gather, for the hope that there is somebody who's going to get in my face with a finger and say, "Pastor Ken, you are sinning in this area. Be careful. Satan is crouching." Now, hopefully you'll finger in the face with love. But who will love me enough to say, "Pastor Ken, as I've been with you, as I've been hearing you, as I've been watching you, here's an issue that I see. And I know that as you're striving to walk like Christ, this is not what you want. And so how can I pray with you? What's some scripture we can memorize together that maybe be able to help in this area? To help each other in our sanctification." Well, I don't want to do that. That's scary. To really open up with each other. Listen, you can't improve on God's plan. And part of God's plan in fighting against sin is the use of each other in our lives. Now, you may not necessarily confess your sin to everyone, but there is a brother or a sister in Christ in this body that God has provided to help you in your sanctification. Ignatius, second generation Christian and the leader of the church in Antioch, who was executed for his faith in Rome. Oh, by the way, so was Justin Martyr, executed for his faith as well. He said this, "For when you assemble frequently in the same place, the powers of Satan are destroyed." And by that he meant because you're being put in a position of hearing the Scriptures read, of hearing the Scriptures taught, of praying for one another in your weaknesses, that over time with a relationship of accountability, you are hearing the gospel proclaimed, you are hearing what is true for you as a believer of Christ conquering death and sin and the devil over your life. As you begin to hear the way of righteousness and holiness, you will begin to live in that way. And Satan is destroyed as you assemble frequently in the same place. Helping each other in our sanctification. Number 11. And we're going to turn to the book of Ephesians. But number 11, why should I assemble corporately with the church? Number 11, to support somebody else who is depending on you. And one of the things I want you to see as we're going through this list, that there are some of these reasons that are sort of me-oriented, But a good number of these reasons are others related. And so that I could make the argument that attending, assembling the church body helps me in my fight against selfishness. Because I am going for the good of others, not necessarily for the good of self. Look, where I'm getting this is Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to notice a couple of passages here and to think of a log cabin with me. Ephesians chapter 2, at the very end of that chapter, and in fact, we can look at verse 19. Toward the end of that chapter. So then you, speaking to the church in Ephesus, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household. Notice he's sort of bringing in that corporate nature, fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, here's the imagery I'm wanting you to catch, being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And then I want you to go towards the end, middle of chapter 4 of Ephesians. And there he's speaking of unity in the church. And in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And what is going on here? Paul is laying out this case in Ephesians that you bring, as an individual believer in Christ, you bring something to the body of Christ that nobody else does, but everybody else needs. That there is not the idea. What happens, and I said the log cabin, what happens if I am building a log cabin? Maybe some of you tried to do this in the woods when you were a kid, a little fort that you would throw pine cones at each other or something. But what happens if you take the logs and you just simply stack them one on top of the other? Pretty soon what's going to happen is you might get three high, but then they're going to begin to roll off. Because they're just sort of by themselves. And the key to a good log cabin is that you begin to stack one on top of the other, and then maybe you make an inner wall, and so there's another point of connection there too, and then the house becomes solid because not all the logs are individualized, but that they are linked together, joined. And this is the picture of the church that Paul is trying to give us in Ephesians, to us as Ephesians, that the body of Christ, this body of Christ, is meant to be knit together, interlocked, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, as we are helping each other walk on this road of holiness, this side of heaven. And this goes against the rugged individualism of our nation. Doesn't it? Where each man or each woman gets by their own bootstraps. Scripture says we can't do that as believers. But the way that God has designed His church, of which I am a part, is not that I can go along individually all by myself. But that if I'm going to be strong, I'm going to be built in with some of you, with all of you, fitted together, like the interlocking of fingers on a hand. Corporate assembly with the church provides an opportunity to support somebody else who is depending on you. Maybe let that one sink in your mind when you're tempted. I didn't get a lot of sleep yesterday. Today I think I'm sleeping in. Think, but there may be somebody else who's depending on me. My mere presence may be an encouragement to that brother or sister in Christ. And so for my sake, though I may want to stay in this bed, for the sake of the good of the body, I'm going. Number 12, and we're nearing the end here. Number 12, corporate assembly with the church provides an opportunity to use and develop spiritual gifts. Christ gives us gifts to serve not the world primarily, but the church primarily. If Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, makes you to be a generous man or a generous woman, that generosity is an issue of a spiritual giftedness, and that is not primarily to be used, though it can be, it is not primarily to be used out in the world. Primarily, that giftedness of generosity is to be used with the body, or with helps, or with teaching. And so that the body is being gifted spiritual gifts to be used primarily in the body. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another, as he's writing to the church now, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Go home and read one of the listings there in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, and read the listings of the spiritual gifts, and you'll notice that the entirety of chapter 12 is speaking to the church that the spiritual gifts are being given for the church. Well, one of my reasons then for going is to be able to use and develop and maybe even to discover what my spiritual gifts are. And so I assemble to be able to be used as God's instrument in the body of Christ, in the bride of Christ. Number 13, we talked about this a couple of Sundays ago. Number 13, not another reason for the corporate assembly with the church, why it is good. Because it provides an opportunity, and I've worded this a little funny, to not miss an extraordinary manifestation of God's presence. To not miss an extraordinary manifestation of God's presence. And this is what I'm jumping off from and where I'm wanting to go to. Remember the story of Christ's resurrection? And the first Sunday night of his resurrection, and the disciples are gathered together and Jesus appears to them, and yet Thomas isn't there. And so the next time that the disciples see Thomas, "Thomas, you should have been there. Jesus was there. And he showed us himself and he spoke with us." And Thomas was sort of on the outside for the moment, looking in, because for whatever reason that he had, he was not with the disciples as they gathered together. And he missed an extraordinary manifestation of God's presence. Now, what I mean by extraordinary manifestation of God's presence, do I necessarily mean that you should be here every Sunday or in some body of Christ every Sunday because Jesus may physically show up? That's not necessarily what I'm meaning. But what I am meaning is true revivals have rarely come. True revivals of the church rarely come to one person alone first. True revivals of God come as a group of believers, generally speaking, a group of believers are gathered together, faces and hearts towards God. And it may be that some Sunday, as we are gathered together in this place, that God descends and breaks our hearts and makes us to love Him more and more and more. And yes, you will be able to have some residual benefit and some residual evidence. But wouldn't you hate it to miss for something other than a really good reason? Now, I cannot promise that just because you show up that there will be an extraordinary manifestation. But what I can promise is this. If there is a moment where God descends in power and glory, and you're not here, you will miss it. That's all I can promise. If God does decide to descend here or with another body of Christ elsewhere, and you're not there because you're doing something other, then you will miss it. And then lastly, last reason for the importance of corporate assembly with the church. Because corporate assembly with the church provides an opportunity to practice for heaven. To practice for heaven. Nobody will be off doing their own thing in heaven. In heaven, you will be gathered, and it will be a joy, with people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. From that moment on, it will be a group thing. In Revelation 7, we have this picture, verses 9 to 12. In fact, go ahead and turn there, maybe mark that, and maybe this is the greatest reason for you. Maybe not all these reasons are the one that hits your heart, but I'm hoping one of them does hit your heart, and maybe this is one. That corporate gathering is practice for heaven. And there, beginning with verse 9, after these things, John says, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count from every nation, all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, speaking of their innocence, their holiness, their cleanliness, clothed in white robes and palm branches, joy were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they all, is the idea, fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen! Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. The great multitude worshiping. And then again over there in Revelation 19:6, and we won't 19:1-6 won't read that, but again, all of heaven gathered around the throne, worshiping God. And if it brings us joy to think of one day being gathered in that throng, let it be no less of a joy to be gathered from week to week or time to time with this throng worshiping God. And so, 14 reasons why corporate assembly with the church is important. Because it provides an opportunity to express praise for God with the believer. That is the pattern repeatedly in Scripture, to experience joy with others, maybe even to catch joy as you are reminded to look upon God, to imitate the practice of Jesus, to imitate the practice of the early church found in Scripture, to express our love for and identification with the brethren, to be instructed and encouraged to the Scriptures toward hope, unity, and worship. A hope, unity, and worship, a perseverance that does not come through personal Bible study, but comes through corporate Bible study, according to Romans 15. To comply with Scripture. To experience encouragement through the fellowship of the saints. To help each other love one another, to help each other in our sanctification, to support somebody else who is depending on you, to use and develop spiritual gifts for the good of the church. For number 13, to not miss an extraordinary manifestation of God's presence. And lastly, to practice for heaven. And now, how then do we respond? And I've given this a little bit of thought this week, and here's what I'm going to say. The best way to call for a response is not to invite you to come to the front of the worship center here, the sanctuary here, and to call for you to say, yes, I'll be here next week, and to whip up emotions of guilt or anything like that. It's not necessarily to encourage you to sing about a song now, about gathering together next time. Here is the point of application. Will you look forward to the next time to be together? And will you be here? The Lord help you. This morning, from week to week, have moments for missions, but before we go to that, let me pray. Father, my heart really is not to drive by guilt. None of us really lasts long in our duties if we are driven by guilt. And Father, if I have intimated that, would you please remove that from the hearts of the hearers this morning? And I pray that maybe there will be a reading of that list and to hear again corporate gathering as an opportunity. Corporate gathering as an opportunity. You give us such a precious opportunity and gift as to be with each other. May we gladly receive and utilize that gift often. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.